You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Columbia.
Welcome to episode 262 of Columbia Calling, your weekly podcast on living and working in Colombia. My name is Adrian Alsma of Columbia Reports, and this is the news for week 9, 2019. Violent clashes on the border with Venezuela have further escalated tensions between Colombia and its neighbor to the east. According to Colombia's foreign ministry, 285 people were injured on their side of the border on Saturday. Most injuries were because of tear gas, but some people were hit by rubber bullets shot by Venezuela's National Guard. Venezuelan authorities said that another 42 people were injured on the opposite side of the border amid clashes between the security forces and supporters of opposition leader Juan Guaido, who declared himself president last month. Guaido's attempt to move American food supplies from Colombia to Venezuela failed after three trucks caught fire and blocked the bridge connecting the two countries. Remaining trucks retreated to storage facilities in the border city of Cúcuta. It is unclear whether the trucks caused fire because of Venezuelan security forces shooting tear gas at the caravan or opposition forces throwing Molotov cocktails at the soldiers. As the violence unfolded, disputed Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro broke off all relations with what he called the fascist government of Colombia. U.S. Senator Marco Rubio, a close ally of President Donald Trump, said Sunday that the violent incident had increased the possibility of multilateral action. U.S. Vice President Mike Pence traveled to Bogota on Monday to meet with Guaido and other regional leaders to convince them of ending their resistance to the possibility of military action to oust the authoritarian Maduro. A Venezuelan lawmaker close to Maduro threatened last year that a military intervention would be responded with an air force attack on Colombia. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres met with the Venezuelan ambassador to the UN in an attempt to unnerve the situation. Hours before the unrest, the cousin of a Venezuelan lawmaker died as the result of a reported robbery. According to U.S. Senator Marco Rubio from Florida, Deputy Freddy Superlano and his assistant Carlos Salinas were poisoned, but this was contradicted by local media. According to Cúcuta newspaper La Opinión, the two opposition politicians were drugged and robbed in a roadside motel by two unidentified women after a night of partying. Salinas died of an overdose of scopolamina, a drug commonly used in robberies. Medellín's authorities demolished the Monaco building, the iconic home of slain drug lord Pablo Escobar in the affluent south of the city. The event was attended by much of the city's jet set, who were treated to canapés, a concert by the Philharmonic Orchestra, and lengthy speeches by President Iván Duque and Mayor Federico Gutiérrez. According to the mayor, the ceremonial demolition of the building demonstrated that the city's darkest hours have passed, ignoring a steady increase in violence and crime in Colombia's drug trafficking capital. Scholars and victims of violence in Medellin accused the mayor of window dressing, claiming he has failed to attend the profound wounds left by organized crime. Colombia's former justice minister claimed that he saw the ghost of Escobar appear inside the building around the time of the explosion. The U.S. State Department has given the green light to the extradition of Colombia's former agriculture minister Andrés Felipe Arias. The former protege of controversial former president Álvaro Uribe fled the country in 2016 ahead of a 17-year sentence for corruption. Arias is awaiting an appeal for his extradition in a jail in Florida. Colombia's highest representative of the Catholic Church, Archbishop Ruben Salazar, has strongly condemned his religious institution's failure to adequately attend reports of sexual abuse at a summit on the controversial issue at the Vatican. According to Salazar, the church has failed to recognize the enemy within and leaving young churchgoers unprotected. Had it not been for the valuable insistence of the victims and the pressure exerted by the media, we might not have decided to face up to this shameful crisis, Salazar told more than 100 other cardinals. The International Criminal Court has warned Colombia's government of the implications if President Iván Duque refuses to sign off on a statutory bill on the country's war crimes tribunal. The bill defines the powers of the transitional justice system that seeks to provide justice to Colombia's 8.5 million victims of the armed conflict. The Special Tribunal for Peace, or YEP, has been investigating war crimes for a year already, but the bill defining the court's power was never sent to Duque until last week. The court is controversial because it will not just investigate war crimes committed by guerrilla group FARC, but also by the military. The investigations are expected to shed light on the mass execution of civilians carried out under the watch of Duque's political patron, former President Álvaro Uribe. The Truth Commission that has been investigating why the armed conflict degenerated to the point it left so many victims has said that the president cut its budget with 40%. According to Commissioner Alfredo Molano, the budget cut severely limits the investigative body's capacity to investigate war crimes and victimization in the countryside where much of the violence took place. Supporters of the peace process are looking into what action can be taken after Duque reportedly also defunded programs to return stolen land to displaced farmers and clear landmines. Public uproar over a $230 fine imposed on a man buying an empanada from a street vendor in Bogotá continued throughout the week. The acts of civil disobedience led to bizarre situations, with one woman being fined for asking the police if they knew where she could buy empanadas. Multiple street vendors were arrested and had their merchandise decommissioned for allegedly breaking the law. Colombia's justice minister said the police is misinterpreting a law that seeks to curb the unduly use of public space. According to the country's labor minister, some 75% of the country's working population is informally employed or self-employed. The majority of Colombians disagrees with President Iván Duque's decision to end peace talks with the ELN, multiple polls indicate. Duque refuses to talk to the rebels after a terrorist attack that killed 21 police cadets and injured more than 65 others in Bogotá last month. The support for peace talks is strongest in rural areas where the ELN is primarily active. The president's decision to end the peace talks and seek the extradition of peace negotiators who are in Cuba has isolated the government both nationally and internationally. That's the end of this week's bulletin. Now back to Colombia Calling with Richard McCall.
It's that time of the week again, folks. It's me, your host, Richard McCall, here in Bogota, Colombia, 2,600 meters closer to the stars. How are you finding this new segment each week? Well, this is episode 262, so last week, 261, when we were talking to Alex Fatal about his book, Guerrilla Marketing, Counterinsurgency, and Capitalism in Colombia. But how are you finding the new segment with Adrian Alselma, the director of Colombia Reports, at the beginning of this show, giving us a news roundup for Colombia? I personally like it. It gives us a timeliness to the show and perhaps a little bit of news that you won't receive in the mainstream media. So I'd like to hear some feedback. And I know that Adrian would like to hear some feedback about that. But this is now my segment of the show of Columbia Calling, episode 262. And we've got a repeat guest back on the line. She's in the coffee zone. Her name is Erin Donaldson, originally from Reno, Nevada, I think. And it's a great pleasure to have her back on the show. Erin, welcome back.
Thanks, Richard. It's great to be back.
It's a real pleasure to have you on the show because you're always doing something great out there in the Coffee Zone. I think of you as the Coffee Zone ambassador to Columbia Calling. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing now and where you are.
Well, I've been out here now for 6 years. A month and a half ago, I made the decision to try a new city in the coffee access, of course. So I now live in Manizales, Colombia. I came to a point where I realized that I was hitting my own limits and I needed to expand once again. And some interesting opportunities came up for me in the city of Open Doors. And so I took the plunge and hopped off the cliff and went to a new place. And here I am. I kept saying I was going to stay with Pineda City Guide and keep working at it. But then I realized that, no, it's time to expand. So I've become my own competition and launched a new blog, which is coffeeaccesstravel.com.
Wow, wonderful. So we've gone from Pereira to Manizales, and so in a couple of years it will be Armenia and then somewhere else.
Who knows? At this point, anything could happen. But I do see myself staying here hopefully as long or longer than I was in Pereira because I'm feeling good.
You're feeling good. And Manizales, as you say, the city of open doors. You know, I don't know Manizales. It's a real shame. And I'm a little bit embarrassed. But Colombia is an embarrassment of riches. And that brings us a little bit to our main theme of today. And we're going to talk about tourism and travel in Colombia, and in particular, the coffee access, because I couldn't think of anyone better informed about the Eje Cafetero than Erin. And of course, this is timely as this week we've got the Anato Tourism Fair in Bogota. So the big tourism event in the Corferias pavilions in the conference center, where everyone will come out with all their flyers and a heinous amount of printouts publications trying to pitch their place as the next big thing in Colombia. But, I'll be there, but I'll be in the business meetings where we sit down with international operators and try and sell what we have to offer in Monpos to these people and so on. But the coffee zone is really, I mean, it's, for me, it's one of the most beautiful, if not the most beautiful parts of Colombia. But as I said, Colombia is an embarrassment of riches. And well, Erin, I mean, you really are out there. This new website, coffeeaccesstravel.com, you are offering trips around the coffee zone, but you're also appealing to expats as well. Tell us more about this, your website.
Well, you know, you said something that I think was key to our whole conversation. You mentioned how really you don't know Manizales. And in the same way that I started Pereira City Guide because many people did not know Pereira, it occurred to me to start Coffee Access Travel because even less people know Manizales. And Manizales has kind of a rather interesting and intriguing tone because the average tourist comes, they get off the bus in the terminal or at the airport, they go up the cable aéreo, or is it aéreo cable? I get that mixed up. And they arrive in the old center or the traditional part of the city, which is downtown, and they see a certain aspect of it. But I think a lot of people are missing out on many other areas and many other opportunities that the city holds. And I'm here to uncover its secrets and create a new visibility for an economy that is actually struggling a little bit and maybe I can help somehow, either through my tourism, through my promotion of local products, or maybe just by being here and opening it up for international investment and other expats that are looking for a place that's a little bit more off the beaten track, yet still has all the modern amenities, if not some very unique possibilities.
Oh, I like that. You're definitely on message there, Erin. And I would like to pick up on that comment you made. Why is the economy struggling a little bit there in Manizales?
You know, I'm not quite sure yet. There are some major factories here. Manizales is a major producer of some of the construction materials that are used throughout Colombia. So there are some big industries here. Bata Shoes has a factory here. And then we have some tourism that's struggling to get off the ground. We have some nature areas that are beautiful and virtually untouched. And then we have, the typical run of retail and real estate development and things like that. But yet I'm seeing there's a little bit of a recession here as well, either because of how small it is or because of how quiet it's been up till now. You know, some people tend to see Manizales as kind of a big pueblo, even more so than Pereira.
Interesting.
So I'm trying to uncover that. And, you know, in Pereira, I went there with this ethic of support local, buy local, and just, you know, eat local. And I'm not going to say I'm responsible for some of the movements that have come out of, you know, the concept of supporting local, but I've definitely helped. And I've definitely put my two cents worth in. And 3 years later, you know, either people are picking up on my initiatives or they already had their own initiatives. And I was just able to add my voice to the growing noise. But in Manizales, I'm seeing a bit of a lack of that support local up here. And I'm really hoping to give some new ideas to locals while also opening it up a little bit for internationals.
Well, I think so, very important. And of course, your Pereira City Guide is, you're very humble in your statement there. But of course, you definitely started pushing people towards Pereira with that guide. I mean, it was so very easy to read and it was so very clear. And well, I mean, you know, now you've got the coffeeaccesstravel.com. My feeling without knowing Manizales, without knowing the size or anything else, is that it ends up becoming a point of arrival, although that the airport there seems to be plainly decorative because it's always shut due to I think you're better off flying into Pereira, Armenia, or just about anywhere else to get to that region. but I would say that it's Manizales has been... It's a point of reference, and then the tourism, if we're talking about tourism, gets sucked away to places like Salento, which is, for me, overblown. And I'm sure you're so tired of talking of this, but it's become this, I don't know, it's like a mini Cusco in Peru, but with everything set up for its the tourism infrastructure, but through this tiny coffee town.
Well, I'm not here to talk bad about anyone, but in general, there are some big corporations that have come and just exploited it. The area that they call Valle Cocora was actually land the government seized from a private entity, private family that was the land owner of that, to make their national park. And really, the wax palms aren't even that authentic or unique to that area. There's actually, I still haven't had a chance to confirm these rumors, but I've heard about a place called San Felix, which is near to Manizales. It's just about 2.5, maybe 3 hours north of here, going to Salamina, and then off just over the border into Antioquia, there's an area called San Felix where I've heard that there's an even more authentic, more natural, and more beautiful wax palm forest that people could be going and seeing and take advantage of. It's just that Quindío has a very strong marketing machine, and they've built themselves up, but now that it's come at a cost to people, because now the pueblo of Salento, beautiful and decorative and commercialized as it is, many of the locals have had to leave because the prices are just too high. And so now you go there and it's like Gringolandia in 500 square meters. I mean, it's bizarre.
Yeah, I don't know how many times I've heard of people or had contact with people saying, well, they're thinking of setting something up in Salento, and I say, well, you know,
it's saturated.
And it's going to be very hard for them to set up something original now, I think. You know, there's plenty of other places I'd like to push people towards, you know, without overdoing it, of course, but Pijao, yes. Salamina, and of course, there's so many other places. I can't even remember what the town I was invited to last year, but I didn't end up going because, as I made a reference to, the Manizales airport is decorative. My flight was cancelled, so I couldn't get there. Was it Buena Vista? Does that sound right? a town, I don't remember exactly, but they have a literary festival and I was invited to read. And so there I was, up early to get on the flight to go out. And I couldn't get there.
You know, I think I remember hearing something about that. I think I remember you mentioning it to me or something. Yes, because, I mean, what they have is they get a lot of fog here. They get a lot of cold, rainy weather, and that affects the airport conditions here in Manizales. But we also get a lot of sunshine, too. I mean, people think that Manizales is just a cold place that rains all the time, and it's really not. We get a pretty nice balance. But, you know, when it is cold, it's chilly. At the same time, you know, there's some interesting things happening here. There's a lot of art and culture moving around. I've gotten involved with some friends with La Nave de Papel Manizales, which is like a poetry group that gets together and does poetry reading. There's several writers here. One who I just featured in my recent expat roundup, his name is Guillermo Calvo Mahe, who is someone who left Colombia as a child, 6 years old, and spent almost his entire life in the U.S. before coming back. And so he's become a very interesting player in the scene here as his apartment became a meeting place for Petro when he was here doing his interviews. And he's very active in local politics and in creating policies for local politicians to work together fairly with their constituents.
That sounds incredibly progressive, let's say. I like hearing of Colombians coming back. And it is, we're talking about, this is a man who's grown up in the US, not saying to change the culture, but bring a knowledge back. And that's what really can help. And that will drive me towards what I want to talk about in the second segment. We're not there yet, but I want to talk about in the second segment how it is we can really make Colombia appeal beyond Cartagena and Bogota to the U.S. market, because of course that's a juggernaut of a market in terms of tourism. And as I said before, we've got the tourism fair this week here in Bogota, and there'll be U.S. agencies down, but they're always quite boutiquey, quite niche, let's say luxury oriented, which the coffee zone can do. I mean, there are these, was it Sasagua, Bambusa, and all these other haciendas, and I wouldn't know half of them, which are amazing.
Yes and no.
Okay.
Believe it or not, there are some interesting luxury amenities here, and even more so in Manizales. We have a coffee shop that features a really cutting-edge coffee machine that costs over $15,000, and it's the only machine of its type probably in Colombia, if not South America. They don't claim to be the only steampunk machine in South America, but they do claim to be the first one to arrive in South America. And that has made Manizales very progressive, just on the coffee scene alone, for that segment of just people who want to come and drink a nice coffee and even sit in a nice ambiance. I'm sitting in a building right now, which is a really new building here in Manizales called Edificio Capitalia. And the coffee shop where I'm at is a place I really like to work in. And they have a swing.
A swing.
Just an example of something that you would never expect to find in a coffee shop. But they have one corner with these two swings where you can sit and glide back and forth while you drink a cappuccino of coffee fresh out of Huila that's been carefully roasted and prepared and very well prepared. I love the coffee here. And it's a very nice working ambiance as well. The music is very relaxed, very quiet, which is not always the norm for a coffee shop here. And I have an entire wall of windows looking out over mountains, trees, and some neighborhoods.
That's very cool indeed. I like the hearing about these new things, and I like that the music is moderately playing. It's not set to Colombian then. You can hear yourself think.
The owner has definitely traveled. He's very humble, but I've roped him into other interviews, and he's definitely been some places and brought back some interesting concepts, because I come here all the time for interviews and to bring people here. And this is only one place. We've got a bunch of skyscrapers here that have coffee shops on top of them where you can sit and look out over an enormous view.
It all sounds like Manizales is pulling forward, but it needs someone of your know-how to really get that brand out there. As you said, Quindío has the branding and the publicity machine, but now you need to get Manizales Caldas moving. You know, it's such an interesting concept, and it, you know, it, despite tourism arriving and adventure tourism, because of course you've got lots of the volcanoes, Los Nevados, and the hiking, and the, as you say, Cocora Valley, and all of these different things, whitewater rafting, rappelling, everything available in that area. I always feel that there's a, you know, there's that split between the three big cities, and they're all fighting over the same tourists. But Manizales should focus on something that they offer that's, let's say, specific to Manizales, no? That's particular to Manizales. Is there something that you can recommend that will then draw more people, let's say, to going to all of these regions?
Okay. Manizales, I used to say Pereira was the most progressive, but I believe Manizales has pulled ahead of Pereira in the progressiveness of their coffee scene. There's a lot of coffee coming out of places like Chinchina and Salamina and even Aguadas, which are great varieties of coffee that are being carefully brewed and roasted and prepared in unique ways up here. You know, coffee shops like the one where I am, which is named Cafe Rato, and Specialty Coffee Boutique, which has this steampunk machine, which I've never even seen before in my life. And it's a fascinating process to watch this machine, controlled by a tablet, make the perfect cup of coffee.
That is amazing.
And then we've got this art and culture scene. I don't teach English very often, but when certain people ask me to, I do. And right now I've got a student who's a famous violinist named Guillermo Gomez Cerón. He's been to Bogota quite a lot. He's played all over Colombia. He's been to the U.S. for many events. In fact, he's getting ready to go back up to go to a special event in Las Vegas where he's going to be doing a very private show. And he's this very dynamic violinist who has this massive personality who just draws people in. And we've been working together and aligning some of our marketing strategies because he sees the same thing I do, that Manizales has so much art and culture and things to offer people. And really, when you start focusing on the art, culture, and the tango, I kind of fell in love with tango last year. And that's part of what brought me up here was that, you know, Medellin may be the capital of tango, but Manizales has a heart that screams for it.
Very nice indeed. Very interesting points that we're going to pick up in the next segment of this show, episode 262 of the Columbia Calling podcast. We're talking to Erin Donaldson, who's up there in Manizales at the moment. She's the author of the website, The Pereira Guide, and also this new website, it's the coffeeaccesstravel.com. I'm Richard McCall, talking to Erin Donaldson. We'll be back in just a second to talk further about tourism, travel, and so on, and challenges in this coffee area that's facing them. And of course, this is timely because we're in the week of the major travel fair here in Bogota. Don't go away. We'll be right back. And we're back. This is Columbia Calling, episode 262. We're talking to Erin Donaldson, the author and owner and director and everything else of the coffeeaccesstravel.com website, Pereira City Guide, and many other things. You're an open-minded traveler, I believe was her first website. And if you can hear a noise in the background behind Erin, she is in a coffee shop, as she should be, in the coffee zone in the Eje Cafetero of Manizales. And of course, they're grinding up high quality coffee for their clientele there. You're talking about basically, I mean, Erin, what we've really got to hear is that Manizales in, let's say, in difference, I guess all of the cities, the Armenia, Pereira, and Manizales all have their cultural scene, but you are really saying that Manizales, in terms of its arts and culture, might be the city that is sort of head and shoulders above its neighbors. This is what we could really work on to appeal to international tourism.
Mm-hmm. And it's part of my content strategy going forward. I'm going to be working with a lot of local personajes or personages, people who are notable in the area, doing small interviews to talk about local products, local music, local business and industry even. So, you know, this is going to be a series of interviews that I'm getting ready to kick off starting this Friday. That will be in part of my content strategy in months to come. I'm also still working with small businesses to create visibility. And so actually the first restaurant to publish with me is the number one restaurant in Pereira for more than 300 and some odd days now. They've been number one on TripAdvisor. And they've also been a very loyal client to me over the last 3 years with Pereira City Guide. and that is El Lugar Nordico in Pereira. But there's also some restaurants here in Manizales that I have on my radar, which I hope to work with at some point as well, because Manizales may be a bit smaller than Pereira, but it has a gourmet scene. It has a wonderful coffee shop scene, which I'm just absolutely in love with. And then we've got the art and culture scene, which brings into play Teatro Fundadores, a theater house that has opera. In the next month or so, we have at least one opera, one ballet, and a few other theatrical presentations coming through, of which I'm hoping to catch at least some of them for my event coverage of the local area.
Excellent. I like this. I really like this drive that you've got. I mean, but I think, you know, we've talked off mic about this and in person as expats here. We all have about 10 different irons in the fire at any one time. And we have to have a passion for what we work in here. As freelancers, as independent employees. Let's moving on a little bit. I mean, the other thing that I think is obviously the coffee area in, where's it? I mean, everything in everywhere in Colombia has it, but really with this new sort of documentary feature film, The Birders, that's just come out, directed by a good friend of mine and put together by his company. And he's originally from Seattle, Greg Blakeney. But this is something that could really grow a low impact, high yield tourism in the area as well. Bird watching. I mean, the coffee zone is known for it.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because in Manizales, we have a special bird watching route called La Ruta del Condor or Condor. It has to do with a farm here that has a natural nesting area for the Colombian condors. You know, it's a very famous bird, very important bird to the national heritage of this country. But, you know, as we, you know, our mutual friend Chris Bell was here not too long ago exploring the bird watching areas in this area. And Manizales has, unfortunately, it's a segment that I'm woefully undereducated on, but which I'm starting to turn my attention to as I get more integrated into this area.
Well, I mean, that's the thing is I'm no bird watcher and I'm no expert, but I'm certainly an enthusiast. I mean, you start to see the energy brought by these bird watchers and their desire to see these special yes. endemic species, and that's it becomes something that draws you in as well. I would say there's something very special about this market, and I think the bird fair this year was just in Cali, but it sort of rotates around those areas. Coming, of course, Cali is not that far away. So if we think Manizales, culture, arts, birding, coffee, I mean, really, that's a pretty good package. So how are we going to put this together to really appeal to a U.S. or North American market and bring more of that tourism to Colombia?
Well, first, we need to create information. We need to find out what there is to do, where to go to do it, and how. You know, I'm putting together a few different tours. I've been running my Pereira City tour now for almost a year, and it's been very successful. In fact, these last few months, I've had to go down to Pereira almost every week to either attend to a tour or to attend to a client that still needs my help with gaining visibility through my blog, Pereira City Guide, or something of the like. Now, here in Manizales, I'm also a dancer. I've been involved in the tango lifestyle now for going on 9, almost 10 months, which is, it's been a lot of hard work, but yet a lot of passion going into it. And my dance partner is also one of the, maybe it's just because I love this guy so much, because he is, also my love partner. But I think he's one of the best teachers in Manizales because of, the techniques that he brings to the table, where if you can walk, you can dance tango. And we want to try to create, well, we're already in the process. And we've already done some small tours where we do like a tango experience. We receive people. We go up to a cafe on top of a skyscraper, give them a huge view of the city, and then begin to talk about the history. Because Manizales is tango. Yes, they have a big salsa scene here as well. And unfortunately, that's what the local government has been focusing almost exclusively on. But for me, there's something missing there, and that's acknowledging and really looking at this whole tango world that exists here. Did you know that Manizales has the only calle del tango in the entire world? It's an entire street in the center, which has something like 4 or 5 different tango bars where you can go and see dancers and shows and just you know, in the afternoon, Tiempo y Tango, which is one of the most famous bars on the street, in the afternoon, you know, little old ladies go there to drink their coffee or to participate in dance classes. But then there's also a younger element that's starting to get into the scene that's helping to rejuvenate it and gain visibility for it as well. And so that's something that is definitely high on my priority list to be promoting in the next few months.
I see this, you know, because people come to Colombia as a dance destination. I mean, but I would say salsa, you go to Cali, merengue up in the Caribbean coast, then you've got all your other things, your champeta, your bachata, your cumbia. But if tango, I mean, you could really draw in another niche crowd. And again, this is the type of tourism that you want, not the mass tourism, but niche crowds looking for their specific, let's say, attraction, what has brought them in. I like this very much. I think you are right in that the Gobernación de Caldas and the city of Manizales probably aren't focusing enough on this. Maybe they think, oh, you know, people think tango, Buenos Aires, Argentina, but why not? Why not? If it's caught fire in Manizales for a reason, you know.
Some of the greatest tango singers and orchestra directors have actually ended up in Colombia, and some of them in Manizales. People here, you know, they still talk about when Charles Gardel died, and it was a procession that went through all the villages of the coffee access, and people were in the streets crying, and I mean, they just couldn't even handle it. It took a year for his body to get sent through Colombia, shipped to New York, and then shipped to Argentina. And this is almost a century ago that this happened, and people are still talking about it today. Well, maybe not a century, more like 50 years. But, I mean, there's this legend and lore, and really, Colombia has a heart for tango that even many Argentinians do not have, which is bizarre to say the least. But it really is a part of the culture, and there's over 100 years of tango culture in Manizales. What happened was it came in about 1914 with the silver screen and movies and the moving, you know, the talkies and things. And then by the 60s and 70s, people began to really get into the dancing of it.
Why do you think, I have to ask this, and I don't know if you can answer it, but why do you think that tango caught on so much in that area, Medellin, Manizales, etc.?
Well, you know, Colombians are so romantic and so, they have a passion that runs very deep. We see it in the news every day when we hear about these horrible atrocities. We see it in the streets when we see women who are attending their children and men who stop and listen to a song and get a tear in their eye. I mean, there's this emotion that runs through Colombia of this happiness, but yet at the same time, it has its history. It has its hard times. And the stories of tango are the stories of Colombia too, because there's also some Colombian tango composers that have been very important over the years. So it is not a genre exclusive to Argentina. But then you have this people who think in this romantic way of how they live their lives and how they fall in love. I mean, I remember when I first came to Colombia, I heard stories about the Colombian men and their passion for the baladas and this romantic music that an American man might say, just give me some Lynyrd Skynyrd and I'll be okay, or give me whatever type of music they prefer, but not necessarily so emotional and heart-wrenching.
Mm. I think you.
And so the music really seems to flow very naturally with the national spirit and the way people are here. And a lot of people here in the coffee access have memories of listening to tango music in their childhood. You know, this was some music I never even knew existed until I came here. And even now, I'm still learning to catch the subtleties of it, to understand what a compás and a connector and all these different aspects and elements and complexity of the music that exists.
It's so cool. It's the passion running through Colombians' veins. Moving back to Manizales. Now, I was just curious about what the hotel offering in that city is like. Are there nice places to stay that are not major chains or, you know, small family-run places that we can recommend to anyone?
Almost exclusively. In fact, I don't think we even have any major hotel chains in the city. We have a lot of local family-run hostales. For example, I've stayed, before I moved up here, I stayed several times at La Gran Via, which is owned by a local entrepreneur who took an interest in tourism, and now he's got this little hostel. It's very humble, but very comfortable. Right across the street from it is Hotel Carretera, which is a major participant in the yearly, my mind just went blank, the name of the Manizales Festival in January, the Ferias de Manizales. Hotel Carretera is a major sponsor of many of the activities related to the Beauty Queen pageant, because we have the international, it's the International Coffee Queen pageant or something like that. La Reina Cafetero. And, that's a very important part of the yearly culture here. In fact, Manizales is one of the best fairs in Colombia every January. And they do parades and the bullfighting, whether you love it or not. The beauty queens, I mean, they put on a really big show. They've also got one of the best artisan fairs in Colombia at that same time at Expo Ferias. Expo Ferias has a very extensive and very modern convention center facility. The next event we have coming up is Expo Equina, which is a major horse exposition where a lot of the Pasofino enthusiasts will be coming out for the a major competitive show horse event. So I do anticipate going to that one if I get the chance. And then we've got, in May, we have Tango Villa. So it's going to be dancing in the streets, dancing in the theaters, and some local competitions, which I plan to be participating in with my dance partner. And then we have, in September, we have the International Theater Festival, which is the oldest theater festival of its type in South America, and features the giant muñecas, or the giant dolls, which is a French group that comes out. I was at the International Theater Festival last year. We have a theater here that has the best acoustics. They say it's the best acoustics in South America. And so we have all this culturally focused events and tourism draws, but just not enough visibility.
Interesting. I would, of course, sure that you would go to the equine festival as a cowgirl yourself. I mean, that's right up your alley.
You bet it is.
Wait, I mean, the cup is overflowing for Manizales, but I always say this, you're going to do something, do it well, focus on a brand, focus on something that can, not only international. I mean, I've sort of focused on trying to get US tourists, because I think Europeans are more open to adventuring into Colombia, and correct me if I'm wrong, but that in my experience in Montpós, it's the Germans, the French, and then Dutch and so on, who are much more open. I don't know if it's a fear factor, a justified terrible reputation, or so on. I don't know what it is, you focus on an activity, do it well, and bring in your clientele, and also national tourists. So in Colombia, it's the peso is so weak right now, you're going to have to appeal to national tourists, because they can't go overseas. The peso to the dollar to the pound to the euro is nothing. So there must be some way of focusing on this. As we move into the final sort of minutes of this show, Aaron, I was remembering what you'd said all those, I guess it's years ago now, a while ago, when you had the Pereira City Guide as your principal, let's say, tourism activity, writing activity, and you'd set up your naked statue tour in Pereira. And that for me is one of those things, you really cottoned on to something that I don't know how popular it is. That's a question that will obviously be answered now. But because you've got naked statue tour, people are immediately captivated by that title. You've got to do something similar for Manizales. Not obviously a naked statue tour, but something similar.
Well, Manizales, I'm going to be focusing a lot on tango. We have a tango experience where even if you have two left feet, if you can walk, you can dance tango. And it's just going to be a very basic introductory. Well, it is, because we're already starting to do it. It's a very basic introductory experience, and that's the key word. Everything we're doing with tourism now is focusing on the experience. And then you're right about the niche thing. You really have to find a niche and stick to it. And so, you know, probably one of my main niches up here is going to be the tango tourism. But then there's another thing I wanted to mention too before we finish out is expats settling. You know, people who want to come and live here, because Pereira is now becoming a major destination in the coffee access for people who want to live. And I'm actually the naked statue tour never really got off the ground, but the walking tour of the center did. And I've had the opportunity to talk about the Boulevard, this noodle, or the Naked Boulevard, and some of the progressive mentalities of the city. Manizales is a bit more conservative, so I can't really go prancing around finding naked statues or anything like that. You won't find any in Manizales, but there are some very interesting cultural elements, one being the tango, which has its own, you know, elements of scandal, you know, involved in it as well because of just the nature of how tango functions. You know, it's something very bohemian with a lot of artists and a lot of just different types of people who are all drawn together out of this intense love for the music. And then you have the expat scene, where I'm actually going to be planning and maybe even carrying out some expat-type real estate tours. Believe it or not, that's a niche that, without saying too much, has a very interesting offer there, that, and it's going to be picking up the pace because people are, you know, especially with some of the new policies going on in the U.S. with the new Green Deal, you know, some social strife that it's picking up speed. A lot of people are really looking to find a safe haven where they can just ride out the stormy weather for a few years. And Colombia is on many people's radars, including some bigger investor types who want to put their money somewhere where it might just be a bit safer and be secured for the next few years while we ride out some of the troubles that are coming.
Interesting. And will you be listing these, let's say, this real estate on your website, thecoffeeaccesstravel.com?
Probably not, because I'm working with a private individual who's going to be bringing in clients, and it's going to be a very exclusive tour to a very niche segment. And that's where we're seeing a lot of the opportunities, is you have to find a special niche, become the dominant player in it, and then stick to that niche. Eventually, I may start adding more visibility to these tours, but for right now, it's something very private and very exclusive in that nature. What I do have that is available to a more public audience is the tango experience. And then I'm also doing private consultation with expats. So people who want to either relocate to here from another part of Colombia, or people who are just new to Colombia and they're just looking for a nice quiet city with some nice amenities, some nice views, and who maybe want a slightly cooler climate.
Excellent. Excellent. I think you're probably the go-to person, Manizales and the Eje Cafetero, for a very level, very interested, very, you know, you've got you are profoundly invested in that region. You've got an understanding and a love for it that goes far beyond so many others. So I this is a shout out to you out there listening. If you're considering coming to or investing in, or, you know, just finding out a little bit more about the Eje Cafetero, check out Erin's website, Erin Donaldson. Her website is thecoffeeaccesstravel.com. So very easy to spell. Of course, that will be featured on our Facebook page and on Twitter and so on. Let me take this moment and say, Erin, thank you so much for your time and sharing some of your enthusiasm and passion for Manizales and the Eje Cafetero.
Thank you, Richard. It's always been such a fun experience to be on your show. This is my third show with you. I can't believe that the years have even passed so quickly, because it seems like just yesterday I was talking about some of my more edgy concepts with Open Minded Traveler, and then I moved into a little bit more professionalism with Pereira City Guide, and kind of matured my concepts a bit and my ideas and my writing skills. Now I'm taking all that knowledge, I'm putting it together into Coffee Access Travel. You can find us on Pinterest under the same name, Instagram at Coffee Access Travel, Facebook Coffee Access Travel, and you can email us coffeeaccesstravel@gmail.com.
Awesome. There you go. No excuses, listeners. Thank you again to Erin Donaldson of CoffeeAccessTravel.com, Pereira City Guide, Open-Minded Traveler. This has been episode 262 of the Colombia Calling podcast. Thank you again for all of you that tune in every week. The numbers continue to climb. Thank you. I'm humbled by the fact that this tiny niche podcast goes on, and we started in 2013. It's hard to imagine. So that's me, Richard McCall, signing off for today, episode 262. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week, of course. Farewell.